Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This happened last summer and started pretty much a year ago. I am a guy who spends quite a lot of time in front of my computer. Probably too much. And my room back at my parents' place has a window facing the road in front of the house. My computer is located next to the window, and when I'm sitting by it, I have that window to my right side. This means that if someone walks past the house, they can see me by the computer, and I often tend to look out the window whenever I see someone walking past, in the corner of my eye. No big deal.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So this all started when I noticed a woman, somewhere near her 20s, maybe early 30s, walking by quite often, as in 5 to 10 times every day. No big deal, of course, she probably just lives nearby, I thought, which I later found out that she did. But this woman had a very uncomfortable look to her, didn't look like she had a shower in a while, and she had this extreme smile to her face, constantly, as if someone had stapled her face into that expression. I didn't think much about it until I noticed that she started trying to make eye contact with me. Since she walked by my window so often, I often caught her in the corner of my eye and unintentionally looked at her. Every time she got eye contact, she would start giggling and laughing uncontrollably. This went on for a week or two. I just thought she was mentally ill or something, to be honest, and I didn't think much of it. But one day, she walked past an insane amount of times. At least 20 times in a couple of hours. And each time she was constantly looking in my window when walking by. This is when I started getting uncomfortable. After unintentionally getting eye contact again, I quickly turned my eyes to the computer again, only to see in the corner of my eye that she has stopped, standing outside my window and looking right at me, laughing uncontrollably with her creepy smile on her face. I quickly pull the curtains and I try to ignore it when I hear the doorbell. I open the door and there she is. I'm alone at home, and I start to get some serious creeps. I was at the time babysitting my friend's poodle, and picking it up to use it as some kind of protection. Stupid, I know. I say, "Hi," and she responds with a very, very happy hello. She then says, "Now it's your turn." I have no idea what she wants, and I only respond with, "Okay." She then starts laughing, like a lot, as in she just heard the best joke of her entire life. I start panicking and I shut the door after quickly telling her to leave. I tell my parents when they come home, and it turns out that this woman is an old student of my mother. She says that she is mentally ill and that I shouldn't worry. She is supposedly nice. Her visits outside my window continue every day, and I tell my parents again that I feel uncomfortable. Then they try to talk to her to see what's up. My mom decides to ask her why she's doing this, and the woman tells her that her and I have some kind of supernatural connection in our heads. That her and I have conversations with each other through some kind of telepathic way. We are made for each other and madly in love. That's when my parents are getting concerned. Her visits continue on a daily basis, and we visit the police to see what can be done. Their answer is that we can't do shit because of stupid laws in my country. She often rang my doorbell, but I had the sense to not answer. I noticed that as time went on, she got worse and worse mentally. She started to show aggressive behavior against my parents when they asked her to leave. I have actually never seen my dad so uncomfortable and overprotective as he was at this time. He was worried as well. One day, something happened that was enough for me. It was Friday night and I was home alone. I was watching TV and I heard a strange noise from the street. I peeked out the window and there she was, outside my window, dancing and screaming and singing and doing all kinds of strange things. put all the lights out in my house and I pretended not to be home, but I could still hear her. She was outside still. My neighbors ended up calling me several times, asking if I was okay, and I said I was, but I wasn't. I was scared. My parents were hours from coming home, and all I could do was watch TV, pretending not to be home. She stayed for an hour or two before leaving, and the week after, me and my parents decided to take action. We visited different mental hospitals, or whatever you call them, and tried to tell them what happened. But there was one problem. They didn't have her as a patient and couldn't help us. Neither could the police. To make the rest of the story short, it's been way too long already. This continued for the entire summer, and towards the end, she would often spy on our house, playing some sick game with a child that she had started hanging out with. At this point, she was kind of scared of us because she knew we had contacted the police and different doctors, and they were shouting things such as, "You see that house? Watch out for them, or they'll call the police." And she and the child would run and come back minutes later, repeating the same thing. The police have visited our block several times, hunting her when she is clearly out of control. There are so many incidents I can tell you about this story, but it would take way too long to tell everything. I don't live at home anymore, and I haven't been bothered by her since. Except the time that she tried to contact me on Facebook. I blocked her instantly. That was my summer of 2012. Not the best of my life. Before I tell my story, let me set the scene. It was the summer of 1996, and I was 15 years old. I grew up in a neighborhood in a typical Swedish university town with my dad. I was a pretty well-behaved kid, and I did good in school. I didn't smoke or drink, and in fact, I didn't want to go to parties. I didn't even have a boyfriend, but I did have a crush on a boy at school, and I felt pretty sure he was curious about me too, but we were both pretty shy people. This took place in the end of August, when the late summer nights start to slowly grow darker and the days shorter. It was a very hot summer though, and all the popular girls would wear white tight tops to show off a flat tummy. And one day, I had bought one for myself, just to try and see what it was like to be a normal teenage girl. I had those silly shoes too. The Spice Girls inspired ones that sprained many ankles during that era. Afterwards, I wondered if the outfit is what started it all. Suddenly, I started to get notes. They were placed in the basket of my bicycle. Notes with messages such as, "I like your style," and growing into a woman before my eyes. I didn't tell anyone. I strongly suspected the idiot gang at school. Two of them lived close to me, and I thought they were teasing me for changing my style. Teenage logic, we've all been there, right? To show them that I didn't care, I wore my new style all the damn time. One morning, I noticed that someone had stepped onto the flowers in the flower beds under several of our windows. I told my dad about it. He worried it was someone checking the place out, planning a break-in, and asked me to turn on the alarm whenever I was alone. Things had gone missing before. Insignificant things, but still, you never know. My dad owned a rather successful small business, and to celebrate the 10-year mark, he wanted to treat his employees to a weekend away, and I had booked a place up north in Kiruna. I was often used to being left alone at home. Sometimes his work demanded that he traveled for a week or so, and it wasn't a problem. Again, I was a good kid. And anyway, only a few houses down the street lived a couple of people that we knew, and they usually checked in on me if I was alone for many days. They had no kids of their own and often helped out with everyone else's. It was on the Saturday that it happened. I arrived home very late on my bicycle after having watched Cutthroat Island at a friend's place. I walked in the front door and noticed a draft. Had I forgotten to close the window before I left? Then I noticed that the alarm was turned off. Had I forgotten that too? I walked through the house to the living room when suddenly, Mr. W, the man from down the street, stood in front of me. "Hi there, kiddo. Did I scare you? I just came to check in on you." I found this strange since it was well past 1 o'clock at night and he smelled of alcohol. "I'm fine. I'm off to bed now," I said, and got the strangest feeling. Despite it being a hot summer night, I was shaking with cold. Something inside of me told me that this was an extremely dangerous situation. Something about it was off, as if he was wearing a mask, as if someone else was behind his eyes. Not the friendly Mr. W that I had known my entire life. "Wine?" he said, and nodded in the direction of a wine bottle. I shook my head no. "I don't drink. My dad, you know," I said, and I tried to sound normal, but my voice didn't feel like my own. "Oh, you're almost a grown woman now. You can do as you wish," he continued, pouring wine into an unwashed glass. "I've been watching you. You have really grown." He kept telling me how beautiful I'd become, and how he had noticed my new clothes, and that I surely knew that it was an open invitation to men. "I'm a nice person, don't you think?" he asked. "I'll be good to you. You can trust me. I'll be real gentle." I started to back towards the front door, but he stops me by grabbing hold of my upper arm and pulling me towards him. "Don't be like that. No one likes a tease," he says. And when I try to break free, he laughs and goes, "Wanna play, huh? I can play." And starts to shake me. I feel how much stronger he is than I and realize I have to make him let go long enough for me to run. At this point, it is as if someone else has hijacked my brain and I started saying and doing things that I wasn't even aware of until afterwards. "Yeah, I like to play," I hear myself say, and he smiles and starts to touch my hair. I go off to the bedroom and I tried to pretend to be into it. I had never had sex at this point or even truly wanted to. I had no idea how to fake it, but I tried. The moment he tossed me down on the bed, I said, "You must go lock the front door and turn on the alarm," as I tried to look eager and not scared out of my mind. "Okay," he said, "don't move." I was on my feet faster than I thought possible, and I locked the bedroom door from the inside. My plan had, however, not turned out as I had hoped. He had taken me to my dad's bedroom, not my bedroom. My room had a window that led out onto the roof of the garage, and from there I could have jumped. But this room had no such escape. But it did have a phone. My brain had forgotten the number to the police, and the only number I remembered was my dad's work phone. He answered almost right away. My dad phoned the cops from his other phone, and I still had him on the line while Mr. W tried to open the lock with a screwdriver, shouting at me and promising me to gut me like a fish when he got in. My dad also phoned another neighbor, Mr. K, who used to be in the military and often bragged about how he would treat any burglar to a trip to the emergency room if given the chance. Mr. K arrived before the police and he didn't break his promise. But the sound of the fighting outside the room was terrible, and I had no idea what was going on outside, or even who was winning the fight. Mr. K was an old guy, but fit. But what if Mr. W had a weapon still, like the screwdriver? I don't think I dared to breathe until Mr. K asked me if I was okay. And I didn't dare get out of that room before the police arrived. And even then, I was almost unable to move, as if my mind had escaped my body. A man who I had known since I was a toddler had suddenly started to stalk me and planned to use the fact that my dad was out of town to assault me and God knows what else. I trusted him and I had been so wrong. I still have trust issues today. I spoke to his wife once long after the incident. She had filed for divorce and told me that the reason she refused to have children with him was that deep down she feared that they would have not been safe in their home. I'm 21, female, a college student, and I have been babysitting since I was 14. I'm not an expert on literally anything. However, over the years, I have learned caution and resilience. At age 15, I took babysitting classes at our youth center, as well as a female self-defense course. So I babysit at least once a month for this one family. I like them because they pay me more than my usual hourly rate. They have a big house with internet that I can use to do homework, and the two kids are surprisingly well-behaved and compliant. So the two parents have like a monthly ritual of going out around 5 p.m. and returning a little later after 2 a.m. I'm always offered to sleep in the guest bedroom and stay until morning. I usually just stay awake and abuse our satellite TV and then leave when they come back. The house is in a nice neighborhood without a whole lot of neighbors. Very quiet. Also, their house is armed with an alarm system that I have the code to and can arm and disarm it through my phone. That'll be relevant in a little while. So I always take them for pizza at this place that has like an arcade. I do this so they tire themselves out and go to bed early. Plus, the little girl that I babysit is also on a mission to win a family of stuffed animals from the prize store. So I'd be the world's worst babysitter if I didn't guide her in that pursuit. Anyhow, I'm rambling. I was sitting at a table and watching them play in the ball pit, while also texting on my phone. This couple came over and sat at the same table as me. It was a long table, with parents scattered here and there, so this wasn't alarming. The couple looked normal enough. Both were probably in their mid-20s, possibly a little older. They talked to each other, but then the guy asked me, "Are you the one babysitting Dr. So-and-so's kids?" The parents of these children are both doctors. In the specific region that we live in, this would be common enough information. But I still chose to answer their question with an irrelevant statement. "I wonder what they use to make the pizza here." "Yeah, I know. Total master of deception. I deserve an Oscar for my performance." However, they seem to see right through my clever ruse. They started making weird comments.
Ever thought about Botox but worried you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At CAPS, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
They talked about the kids' parents. They commented on the daughter and how they wondered if she would look pretty as their mom. Okay. I don't know if that was intended to be creepy, but I'm just going to be safe and pretend that it was. Then the woman says to me, and I quote, "Do they really let you dress like that while watching their kids?" She motioned with her eyes towards my t-shirt, which was admittedly a little tight, though aside from a little bit of a bosom crack, not revealing. I have a thin frame and a large chest. It's 90 degrees in my region in the US right now, so it's not like I can wear a hoodie. And my tits have a Crips and Bloods type relationship with any kind of shirt that has buttons. I saw that as my cue to go and get the kiddos and bring them to get their prizes so that we could bounce. After some very thought-provoking philosophical debating, they both got their prizes and we headed back over to the house. So fast forward a few hours. Both kids were bathed and put to sleep. I delivered a heartwarming rendition of Goodnight Moon and read a very spooky chapter of The Werewolf of Fever Swamp and tucked them into dreamland. It was around 9 p.m. I was caught up on homework and was just watching TV when I heard some movement on the porch. I didn't think much of it at first, but the doorknob started rattling violently. I initially started moving towards the front door to see who it was, but miraculously remembered that it was late at night. I was home alone with two kids, and I very much wanted to live. I turned around to grab my purse, which is where I keep my taser. As I'm moving, the back door starts rattling as well, and was accompanied by some banging noises. That's when I remembered that I hadn't enabled the alarm system after returning. Now, if this was a horror movie scenario, of course the alarm wouldn't have worked and the intruders would have made their way inside. I hate to disappoint if you're expecting something more exciting, but I enabled it quite easily with no incident. I ran upstairs and grabbed the two kids. I put them in their parents' room in the walk-in closet. I still hate that I scared them like this. When I gathered them up, I gave no context as to what was going on. I didn't want to tell them that someone was trying to break into the house, but in the process, the fear of not knowing seemed to be worse. I instructed them to stay in there and stay quiet, and only to open the door if they hear me talking to them. I then locked the bedroom door, which is the only door on the upstairs floor that locks. I sat there with my taser out and hit the panic button on the phone app. Several minutes went by, and then I got the notification through the app that the alarm system was disabled. I planned on calling 911 even though the panic button already took care of that, but I found it more beneficial to arm it back. Then it disarmed again, so I armed it again. Then it disarmed once again, so I armed it once more. By this time, I could hear what sounded like two sets of footsteps walking up the stairs. Good job, girl. I guess I locked myself with two potential assailants. I was holding it together for the sake of the kids, but not too deep inside. I was scared to death. When I heard the footsteps get near the door and saw the knob twisting, I took a deep breath and pulled the trigger on my taser, just to let them know that I was armed, though it realistically wouldn't do much good. I informed them through the door that the alarm was triggered and the police were on their way. Thankfully, I was greeted by a familiar voice. It was the parents of the kids I was babysitting. "You're safe," they said. I opened the door and ran into their arms and started sobbing. I hadn't realized truly until it was over just how scared I really was. The kids came out without me giving them the okay, but their parents were there, so I'll let it slide. When I enabled the alarm on my phone, they both got the notification from the place they were at. With the app, you have the option to view the porch cameras as well. When they got the notification that the panic button was activated, they saw through the camera that there were people on each side of the house. One man, one woman. When the alarm kept disarming, that was them trying to get into the house. The police report was filed by them, and I gave a statement mentioning the two weirdos I met earlier that day. Even though there was really no evidence that would directly point to them, camera footage didn't give any positive face IDs either. So yeah, I was scared. I'm getting over it now. I'm just grateful that the couple that I was babysitting for were close enough to make it to me. I hate to say it, but I find the police response time to be terrible. I'm currently back in my own apartment an hour away. I checked in once to see how the kids were doing, and they're holding up fine. I'm just glad they had the proper protection in their home and that this didn't end up to be any worse. This happened back when I was in fourth grade. It always stuck out to me as odd, but when I became an adult, it dawned on me just how dangerous it was. I had been invited to a friend's birthday party, which was to be held at a popular pizza joint that had a bunch of arcade games and stuff. This pizza place was right next door to a small movie theater, and the movie Titanic had just come out, so there was a decent amount of people in this part of the shopping center. My mom had to run some errands and to pick up one of my other brothers, so she dropped me off along the way. She said that she was going to stand so the others arrived for the party, but I knew she had a lot to do. The place was familiar to me, and I knew my friends were either already inside or would be there shortly. So I just told her to drop me off, and I went inside. My mom had also arranged a ride home for me from one of my friend's parents. No one had gotten there yet, so I had to look around at the different games, and then went outside the restaurant to wait for my friends to show up. There were a bunch of people outside the theater, lined up waiting to get inside for the early evening showing of Titanic. That's when I noticed that a couple, guy and girl, were standing by a car, smoking cigarettes and looking over at me. A chunk of time had passed, probably like 20 minutes, and I was super confused why my friends hadn't shown up yet. I knew for a fact that I was at the right place and that I had showed up at the right time. I was going over all the reasons why they might be late, when the cigarette-smoking couple came over to me and started talking to me. They asked me what or who I was waiting for. Obviously, at first, I was hesitant to talk to strangers, but they looked to be my oldest brother's age. Late teens, maybe early 20s. So I had been around older people, and I wasn't too bashful or shy around them, conversationally at least. I explained to them I was waiting for my friends to show up for a birthday party, but they hadn't shown up yet, and that they were pretty late. The couple made some other small talk. They told me they were waiting to see Titanic as well, but when they showed up, all the tickets had sold out for the showing they wanted, so they were just going to hang out until the next showing, which they had successfully gotten tickets for. After a little while longer of waiting and talking with this couple, they asked if I was hungry. I said I was, and they offered to buy me pizza. As a hungry kid who was seriously looking forward to pizza, but was unsure if the party was still going to happen, I wasn't about to pass it up. We went inside and ordered and sat down. I ended up hanging out with this couple for a long time. They were being super nice to me, even gave me money for the arcade games, bought me as much pizza and soda as I wanted. I had almost completely forgotten about my friends and the party that was supposed to happen, until I saw what time it was. Almost 2 hours had passed, and I started to get pretty nervous. I wasn't sure how I was going to get home. I didn't have a cell phone. This was in the 90s, and neither did my parents. My mom would be furious that A, no one showed up to the party, B, I didn't seek out help from the restaurant or some kind of security guard or police officer, and C, I'd spent the last 2 hours with strangers, accepting food and money from them. I decided to ask this couple what I should do. This is where things started to get really strange. The guy turned to me and said flatly, "You don't need to go home." Thinking back, I definitely couldn't fully comprehend the weight of what he said. I didn't know what to say, so I kind of shrugged in confusion and said that I needed to find a phone. I went up to the counter and asked if I could use their phone, and they let me. I called home, but no one answered. I tried again, still nothing. I then told the people at the counter that I was trying to get picked up, but no one was answering the phone at home. I must have looked pretty panicked because just then, the guy from the couple came over and put his hand over my shoulder and said, "Don't worry, we'll get this figured out." He then gave me some more money to play a few more arcade games, while he quote-unquote figured it out, with the guys behind the counter. No idea what they talked about specifically, but I ended up playing another game, and then I went back to the table we were at. The guy came back over and said they were going to take me home. He was being super positive and upbeat about it, and was insisting that it was no problem whatsoever. His girlfriend was also being very insistent and supportive of the idea. Part of me was super hesitant because I was taught stranger danger and all of that, but the other part of me was wanting to believe it was all really innocent, and I was really grateful that these people had been so nice to me, fed me, and kept me entertained. They had even missed their movie to stay with me. I said that I wanted to try calling home a few more times. So over the next 15 to 20 minutes, I tried calling home a bunch, but there was still no answer. I decided that I would say yes to these people and have them take me home. Again, I was young, impressionable, naive, etc. The people behind the counter must have been seeing this from the more rational side and realized something seriously fishy was going on. One of them had gone on break and called the police to come over and address the situation. The policeman shows up and comes over to figure out what's going on. I don't remember everything about the conversation, but what it ended up coming down to was who was going to take me home. The couple was still really insistent. Thinking about this as an adult, I find it strange that the cop was even considering letting this whole thing be an option. As an adult, there is no question in my mind that the cop should have shut the conversation down and taken me home. But for some odd reason, they let me decide. I felt like I was being pressured. I remember going back and forth in my mind. These people had been so nice to me and had hung out with me, and I didn't want to be rude. I also felt intimidated by the police officer. I remember this part as if it were yesterday. As I was thinking, the cop went over to talk to some of the guys behind the counter, and while he was away, the guy from the couple looked at me with a smile and asked, "Do you want to go with him or us?" I told him I would go with them. Again, in hindsight, I still can't believe the cop let this happen. As we were getting our things to go, the officer did say that he was going to follow us the whole way, which was a redemptive assurance. The officer asked for my address and my parents' names. I got in the couple's car and told them where I lived, and we were on our way. The girl was driving, and the guy was in the front passenger seat. The entire drive, the guy was looking over his shoulder out the back window, glancing back and forth between me and the cop following behind us. We pulled up to my house, and I went up to the front door while both the couple and the cop were parked on the street. I opened the door, went inside, and saw that my mom was looking out the window with a very confused and concerned look on her face. She went outside and found out all that happened and was furious. I didn't tell her the specific things the couple had said to me. Again, I didn't understand the full gravity of the whole situation until years later. Going through the whole scenario in my head, if the cop hadn't followed us, I more than likely would have been abducted. Thinking about all the things that they had done and said, befriending me and feeding me and giving me money to play games, was them totally trying to come across as disarming and trusting and friendly. A totally fucked up situation that could have been so much worse. It's hard to think about. I'm almost 30 now and I have kids of my own. Thinking about them in this kind of situation makes my blood boil. I've posted this before as a reply to a comment. It's been playing on my mind because last week it came up in my time hop and I thought I'd share it with you guys. So last summer, I booked a glamping trip in the next county over. The website looked beautiful. A campsite of six large yurts outside a lovely little village. Coincidentally, I had driven through that village before as it's close to a really nice historic castle I like to visit occasionally. So we pay our money and my husband and two kids and I pitch up. It's one of the last weekends of the summer and it was lovely weather. The campsite was on a small hill and the people who owned it lived on top of the hill in their farmhouse. We were checking in on a Sunday for two nights as we were shift workers at the time. We passed other people checking out and they all looked happy. The owners of the site showed us down to our yurt and mentioned that we were the only ones on the site for our stay at this time, it being a Sunday. We were happy with that, to be honest, because with two young kids it meant that they could make noise if they wanted and we would disturb nobody. When she showed us around, she didn't say the yurt door didn't lock, but none of them did. Which was okay, I guess, because you don't lock a tent, right? The place was in its own mini wooded area and it was absolutely beautiful. The owner also mentioned the kids would be safe to wander because they had perimeter fences because of their dogs. The first night was fun. We had a barbecue and the kids played and went down to sleep at about 8. I found it hard to sleep, but I often do somewhere new. There was only patchy phone coverage, so we read until we fell asleep. Next morning, my husband seems a bit out of sorts, but I asked him if he was alright and he says, "Yep, I'm fine." So I left it. We went out for the day and had a great time. Whole day was blazing hot and then we got back. We were washing up after dinner and the kids were playing and a shadow came over the whole place. I felt eyes on me and it went really cold. Honestly, it felt like something bad was going to happen. I felt dread hit me. We already paid to stay, but I pulled my husband to one side and said that we have to leave right now. I don't know why, I just got a horrible feeling. Please, let's just go home. Normally he'd try to talk me out of something like this, but he didn't. He started getting the kids together and I packed our stuff. We went to the farmhouse with a couple who owned it, or sat outside playing with their dogs. My husband started loading up the car, while I apologized to them and explained we needed to leave because our youngest was feeling ill. They said how sorry they were about it, and then just as I turned to leave, the man asked if my husband had been outside the house last night at about 3 or 4 in the morning. I said no, he hadn't left my side all night. I would have woken up and noticed. He asked me if I was sure. By this point, my husband was by my side and answered that no, he hadn't, and why. Well, says the guy, the security lights came on and the dog started barking, and when we looked outside, there was a man wandering around, who then turned around and walked back down the direction of the yurts. They assumed it was my husband. We both said it wasn't, and we said our goodbyes quickly. I tore out of that place in the car. Then about a quarter mile down the road, my husband turned to me and said, you're right. I was quiet this morning. I didn't say anything because I thought you'd take the piss. I wanted to use the bathroom in the wee hours, but as I was about to get up, I heard footsteps on the decking outside.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Not hooves of something on four legs, something on two legs. I laid there as quiet as possible and hoped the kids wouldn't wake up or something. It still freaks me out now.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.